Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
However close you get to Christ, that flesh is still there. So don't make plans to sin. Live as an authentic follower of Jesus. The future is impacting the present.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, senior pastor at Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. How we live today is often determined by what we expect to happen. If we know there's a test, we study. Or if we have an appointment, we plan to be there. Well, today on The Verdict, we're discovering how to live each day in light of our eternal future. Now, let's join Pastor John Monroe as he continues with part two of his message, Time to Wake Up.
If it's true that the Lord Jesus is coming back, and that is clearly taught in the Bible, doesn't it mean that followers of Christ should live in a certain way? It's time to stop living in a half-hearted way where we adopt a cultural Christianity which just blends into the pervading culture. Let's be salt permeating our culture, light illuminating our darkness as we demonstrate by our attitudes and conduct that we're followers of Jesus Christ. Last time in Romans chapter 13, we saw that Paul is saying that the spiritual night is far gone and the day is at hand. It's time to wake up. Don't live as the unbelievers around you. Be different. Put on the armor of light.
The nearness of the Lord's return, that spiritual reality, that spiritual certainty impacts what we do today. Now, this demands at least two things. First of all, the nearness of the Lord's return demands a change of clothing. Verse 12, look at it with me. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. It's the day of the Lord, it's at hand. It's right there. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. The armor of light. Paul says in Ephesians 5 that we are children of light. Yes, we live in a dark world, we live in an evil world, but we who follow Jesus are of the light. The night is the present age. The night is the metaphor for darkness, for wickedness, for rebellion against God. The day is at hand. That is the age which is to come. In other words, the light of heaven comes down and brings light to us. The light of God dispels the darkness. That's what Paul is saying. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. The future is to impact the present. And for followers of Jesus, the eternal, brilliant light of that eternal day impacts us here and now, and it dispels our darkness. We call the darkness sin. Darkness fell when our first parents sinned, and darkness and sin came into our world. And apart from the grace of God, Paul has told us in this wonderful epistle, we live in spiritual darkness, and by ourselves we can't get out of the darkness. In fact, such is the deception that we quite enjoy the darkness. You know, there are animals and creatures and birds that spend all of their life in the dark, and they appear to enjoy it. And Jesus says in John chapter 3 that men love darkness rather than light. You say, why would you rather have the dark rather than light? As is Jesus, because their deeds are evil. Would you agree with me that more sin happens at night than in the day? Just of a normal day. There was the old adage that nothing good happened after midnight. Were you brought up like that? Your parents wanted you home at a certain hour because they thought if you're up at 1 and 2 in the morning, you weren't doing anything good. You weren't reading your Bible. You weren't at a prayer meeting. You're probably, it would do us good to have prayer meetings at 1 o'clock, wouldn't it? But most things done in the dark are not good. That's a picture, isn't it? And so into this dark world, the light shines. Jesus Christ comes, and John is, in his prologue calls us, he is the true light. And that light comes, and one of the descriptions of Jesus himself is that I am the light of the world, and that he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. See, if you're following Jesus, you're walking in the light. God is light, the Bible says. In him there is no darkness. And on the cross, our Lord Jesus experienced the darkness and the night as the judgment of God for our sins falls on him. And then he bursts into the marvelous light, that endless light of God's eternal day, as he breaks the bonds of darkness and of sin and of the devil himself and is alive. And now Jesus calls us and says, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Are you following Jesus in the light? Notice what Paul says here, verse 12. Let us cast off the works of darkness. That's a graphic picture. What works of darkness are in your life? What do you think? Any darkness in your life? Anything you do in the dark? Any secrets, men? Things you wouldn't want your wife and children to do? You hide it. You operate in the darkness. The works of darkness. Paul is writing to Christians. Because there's something, isn't there? There's something attractive also about the darkness. There's something in our flesh that is drawn to that. And Paul is saying, listen, you're to have nothing to do with that. Very graphically, cast off the works of darkness. What are you hiding? He's already told us earlier, as we saw last week, about the commandments. They're all of the dark. What are they? Adultery, murder, theft, covetousness, and these other commandments. Instead of loving people, we hate them. These are all works of the darkness. Any darkness in your life? Paul is saying, cast it off. There's a casting off, but there's a putting on. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Paul is using the metaphor of changing clothes, taking off and putting on. We all understand that. You've been washed, you've been cleansed, and because of that, there's to be a change of clothing. Once you're washed, you don't put your old dirty clothes on again, do you? One of the things I had to learn, and it's still a bit of a struggle with me, although I've been married a long time, is that, you know, when I was growing up, I don't know what your experience with this was, but when you got something new, you maybe got a new jacket or a new shirt or a new pair of shoes, when you got that, you didn't immediately start wearing them all the time. You might wear them on a special occasion. It might be for a wedding. You might wear them to go to church. And I met my wife, and one day we'd go and buy a jacket, and the next day after we have the new jacket, I want to put on my old one. And she's saying, wait a minute, John, what are you doing putting on that old jacket? And I said, I like my old jacket. And I thought it looked pretty good when I bought it 10 years ago. I mean, what's the problem? Oh, the cuff is frayed. No, we're going to throw that out. Throw out my jacket. Put on the new one. After all, why did you buy the new one? Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. That's what Paul is saying. Get rid of the old. That lifestyle, that attitude, that mindset you had in the old life. Why would you go back now to the old way of life? I remember a few years ago having the privilege of leading to Christ and then baptizing a man in his late 30s. And he had a remarkable conversion because he told me himself that from the age of 13 onwards, he'd taken drugs. And he explained to me, which I, something I already knew, he says, you know, when you get into drugs, you have a whole way of lifestyle to covering up. And he said, you learn to lie and you learn to cheat. And he was forging his wife's signature on the checkbook in order to buy drugs. And he says, when that feeling comes, that is so compelling to get that drug, you don't care what else happens. And so it's a whole lifestyle revolving around getting this certain feeling from drugs. And now he comes to Christ. Now he wants to get baptized. And I remember saying to him, you know, you're going to stand in that baptismal tank symbolizing that you died with Christ. And we're going to put you under the water, symbolizing burial. This is a funeral. And we're in symbol form, we're putting to death the old person. And you're going to come up out of that water to live a new life. And I want you to leave at the bottom of the tank all of the life revolving around drugs, all of the lying, all of the cheating, all of the drug paraphernalia, all of these friends that would drag you down and down, because when you want to do drugs, you want to do it with your friends. I want you to leave that all there. That's what Paul is saying. Now, why would you go back to it? Why would you have these wonderful new clothes and you go back to the old clothes and you put on the works of darkness? I ask you, sir, why are you doing that? Why are you ruining your life and jeopardizing your marriage and the respect of your family by going back to the works of darkness? Things cannot be the same. Things are different now. Now that you're following Jesus, everything is changed. Put on, and God's going to provide it for you, the armor of light. Put on the armor of light. So the nearness of the Lord's return demands a change of clothing. But secondly, the nearness of the Lord's return demands a change of conduct. Verse 13. Now Paul gets more specific. Paul was a realist, wasn't he? He lived in the real world. Let us walk properly. Are you listening? As in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness. Is that in the Bible? Yes, it is. First century Rome, first century Greek, well known for their orgies and their drunkenness. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and in drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but, here it is, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. What Paul's saying is your conduct must be consistent with your profession. You're now walking in the daytime. There are things that characterized the night. And you Romans know exactly what I'm saying, because some of you lived like this. I want you now, as you put on the armor of light, I want you now to walk in the light. And in particular, he gives three sets of negatives. No orgies and drunkenness. Do you hear that? Students, you go off to college. Any orgies and drunkenness in our college campuses? Yes. But not just in the college campus. Perhaps in your own home. Drunkenness, man. You believe if one beer is good, two is even better, three is even better, four is even better, and before you know it, you're drunk. Cast off the works of darkness. There can be no place for orgies, these wild parties, and drunkenness in the Christian armor. You're walking in the armor of light. Do you want to bring into your home all the putrid that's out there in our world? No, don't do that. No sexual immorality and sensuality. Any of that in our culture? Our culture is full of it. Think of the wonderful technology in the iPhone and think of the absolute, not just garbage, but evil And talk about darkness, that you can get, young woman, with a flick of the hand and put that button on, and you can be in a world of sensuality. That is to be no part of the Christian. Cast off the works of darkness. Yes, you have to do it. God will help you. God wants you to live a clean life. You want to live a clean life. No sexual immorality and sensuality. And then, perhaps surprisingly, not in quarreling and jealousy. Proverbs 6:19, God says, this is an abomination, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. That's of the darkness. You false witness, you lie. You say things on social media which you know are not right. You make false accusations. You're sowing discord among people. That belongs to the darkness, not in quarreling and jealousies. These belong to the night. Are you involved in any of them? They're totally inconsistent with the day. What's the answer? Jesus is coming. Put on the light. Accept the challenge of total commitment. Take this seriously. You've drifted into these things. I know you didn't start out that you were going to be to get drunk. I know that. I know you didn't set out that you would have a sleazy existence in the dark. I know you didn't start that way, but that's what has happened. And so it's time to wake up. The day is at hand. Put on the armor of light. Cast off the works of darkness. And Paul, brilliant theologian as he says in verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is displaying the Lord Jesus. Put on the Lord Jesus. You say, what does that mean? Listen to Paul in Colossians 3 and see if you put on these qualities. Put on then, Colossians 3:12, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. You like being around people like that, don't you? People who are compassionate, people who are kind, people who are humble, people who are quick to forgive, people of love. Put on the Lord Jesus, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. No, your flesh is still there. These evil desires, however close you get to Christ, that flesh is still there. So don't make plans to sin. You say, who would make a plan to sin? Oh, you know what it is to make a plan to sin in your mind. Don't provide for it. Live an authentic follower of Jesus. The future is impacting the present. Robert Murray McShane is one of my heroes of the faith. And I'm going to quote a poem that he writes. And as he writes, I want you to consider two things. First, the shortness of your life. Life is short. Secondly, the length of eternity. The future impacting the present. Robert Murray McShane anticipates that day when he stands before the Lord. He writes, when this passing world is done, when has sunk yon glaring sun, when we stand with Christ in glory, looking o'er life's finished story, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When I hear the wicked call on the rocks and hills to fall, when I see them start and shrink on the fiery deluge brink, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Soon all of us will be in eternity. Are you living in that light? That light that Proverbs says shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. So if you're following Christ, you're in the light. The devil puts you in the dark and it gets darker and darker and you go down and down. Following Jesus is the very opposite. As you follow him, that light will shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Don't become comfortable in the dark. Don't become comfortable being lethargic. Wake up. Surgeon, the Lord is coming. I ask you, are you ready to meet God? Thomas Watson, the great English Puritan, says, eternity to the godly is a day that has no sunset. You know, when you follow Jesus, the light never goes out. When you get to heaven, there's no night. It gets brighter and brighter. And so says Watson, to the godly, we live in a day that has no sunset. To the wicked, there is a night that has no sunrise. That's what hell is, isn't it? Eternal darkness. I trust you've caught a glimpse of the future, a sight of Jesus coming from heaven, that we're going to be caught up to heaven and all of its joy, and to live in that eternal light. That is a reality, brothers and sisters. Let's live today in the light of that day and say with John, even so come, Lord Jesus. He's coming soon. He's coming at any moment. Be ready for him. Paul is saying, cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Because some of you here have never come to the light. You say, what do you mean? You've never come to Jesus Christ personally. You have never come humbly to the foot of the cross and receive salvation. Will you come to Jesus? Turn from that darkness and cry out to Christ to save you and to live in that light which gets brighter and brighter into God's eternal day. Father, help us, we pray. We all know the dark. We confess that sometimes we've enjoyed living in the dark, and so we pray that we will, each one of us, cast off the works of darkness and put on and live with this armor of light. And for those who don't know Christ, draw them to the Savior, we pray in Christ's name.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the ending of a message titled, Time to Wake Up. Now, as we continue our fourth and final section in the book of Romans, I want to tell you about the exclusive resource we're offering our listeners. It's a guidebook created by John, loaded with insightful content and interactive resources designed to supplement each of these daily lessons. You'll find historical context, personal devotions, and questions for application, plus a place for your own notes and reflections. It's called Romans, The Transformation of the Gospel, and it's free to download or request by mail. Just go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict to request your copy. There, you can also get our previous Romans study guides for chapters 1 through 11. And while you're online, don't forget to sign up for our monthly email list to stay in the loop on the latest ministry news. Again, that's calvarychurch.com/theverdict. As we close today, consider making your own impact in the lives of other listeners by helping us share these daily messages from God's Word. Our ministry relies on the generous donations of faithful listeners like you who share our passion for the gospel. You can send your gift of any amount by going to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. You can also find us on social media. The Verdict is now on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just log onto your account and search for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. And now, with his closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Have you put on the armor of light? Do you see the gospel making a difference in your daily life? In the light of eternity, how are you living today? Accept Paul's challenge of total commitment. Make sure your conduct is consistent with your faith. We must be ready for the return of our Lord Jesus. Are you ready to meet him? Approach each day with a sense of purpose, a sense of urgency. And don't miss the next broadcast when we'll learn what to do when Christians disagree.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.